Chapter 63. Close, my dear friend, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff. What'll they be doing, do you suppose? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Jonas. Impossible to say, apostrophe cried Mr. Pecksniff. Giddy truants. They may be away from home, perhaps. I was going to I was going to propose, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, that we should enter by the back way, and come upon them like a clap of thunder, Mr. Jonas. Apostrophe, it might not have been easy to decide in respect of which of their manifold properties, Jonas, Mr. Pecksniff, the carpetbag, and the portmanteau, could be likened to a clap of thunder. But Mr. Jonas giving his assent to this proposal, they stole round into the backyard, and softly advanced towards the kitchen window, through which the mingled light of fire and candle shone upon the darkening night. Truly Mr. Pecksniff is blessed in his children in one of them, at any rate. The prudent cherry staff and scrip, and treasure of her doting father there she sits, at a little table white as driven snow, before the kitchen fire, making up accounts. See the neat maiden, as with pen in hand, and calculating look addressed towards the ceiling and bunch of keys within a little basket at her side, she checks the housekeeping expenditure. From flat iron, dish cover, and warming pan, from pot and kettle, face of brass footman, and black leaded stove, bright glances of approbation wink and glow upon her. The very onions dangling from the beam, mantle and shine like cherub's cheeks. Something of the influence of those vegetables sinks into Mr. Pecksniff's nature. He weeps. It is but for a moment, and he hides it from the observation of his friend very carefully by a somewhat elaborate use of his pocket handkerchief, in fact, for he would not have his weakness known. Pleasant, apostrophe he murmured, pleasant to a father's feelings. My dear girl, shall we let her know we are here, Mr. Jonas? Apostrophe, why, I suppose you don't mean to spend the evening in the stable, or the coach house, apostrophe he returned. That, indeed, is not such hospitality as I would show to you, my friend, apostrophe cried Mr. Pecksniff, pressing his hand. And then he took a long breath, and tapping at the window, shouted with stentorian blandness. Bo! Apostrophe apostrophe, Cherry dropped her pen and screamed. But innocence is ever bold, or should be. As they opened the door, the valiant girl exclaimed in a firm voice, and with a presence of mind which even in that trying moment did not desert her, who are you? What do you want? Speak, or I will call my Pennsylvania apostrophe, Mr. Pecksniff held out his arms. She knew him instantly, and rushed into his fond embrace. It was thoughtless of us, Mr. Jonas, it was very thoughtless, apostrophe said Pecksniff, smoothing his doctor's hair. My darling, do you see that I am not alone? Apostrophe apostrophe, not she. She had seen nothing but her father until now. She saw Mr. Jonas now, though, and blushed, and hung her head down, as she gave him welcome. But where was Mary? Mr. Pecksniff didn't ask the question in reproach, but in a vein of mildness touched with a gentle sorrow. She was upstairs, reading on the parlor couch. Ah! Domestic details had no charms for her. But call her down, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, with a placid resignation. Call her down, my love. Apostrophe, she was called and came, all flushed and tumbled from reposing on the sofa, but none the worse for that. No, not at all. Rather the better, if anything. Oh my goodness me! Apostrophe apostrophe cried the arch girl, turning to her cousin, when she had kissed her father on both cheeks, and in her frolicsome nature had bestowed a supernumerary salute upon the tip of his nose, you hear, fright. Well, I'm very thankful that you won't trouble me much. Apostrophe apostrophe, what? You're as lively as ever, are you? Apostrophe said Jonas. Oh, you're a wicked one. Apostrophe apostrophe, there, go along. Apostrophe apostrophe retorted Mary, pushing him away. I'm sure I don't know what I shall ever do, if I have to see much of you. Go along, for gracious' sake. Mr. Pecksniff striking in here, with a request that Mr. Jonas would immediately walk upstairs. He so far complied with the young lady's adjuration as to go at once. But though he had the fair cherry on his arm, he could not help looking back at her sister, and exchanging some further dialogue of the same bantering description, as they all four ascended to the parlor, wherefore the young ladies happened, by good fortune, to be a little later than usual. That night the tea board was at that moment being set out. Mr. Pinch was not at home, so they had it all to themselves, and were very snug and talkative, Jonas sitting between the two sisters, and displaying his gallantry in that engaging manner which was peculiar to him. It was a hard thing, Mr. Pecksniff said, when tea was done, and cleared away, to leave so pleasant a little party, but having some important papers to examine in his own apartment, he must beg them to excuse him for half an hour. With this apology he withdrew, singing a careless strain as he went. He had not been gone 5 minutes, when Mary, who had been sitting in the window, apart from Jonas and her sister, burst into a half-smothered laugh, and skipped towards the door. "Hallo!" cried Jonas. "Don't go!" "Oh, I dare say!" rejoined Mary, looking back. "You're very anxious I should stay, fright, ain't you?"
Yes, I am, said Jonas. "Upon my word I am. I want to speak to you."
But as she left the room notwithstanding, he ran out after her, and brought her back, after a short struggle in the passage which scandalized Miss Cherry very much. "Upon my word, Mary," urged that young lady, "I wonder at you. There are bounds even to absurdity, my dear."
"Thank you, my sweet," said Mary, pursing up her rosy lips. "Much obliged to it for its advice. Oh, do leave me alone, you monster, do."
This entreaty was wrung from her by a new proceeding on the part of Mr. Jonas, who pulled her down, all breathless as she was, into a seat beside him on the sofa, having at the same time Miss Cherry upon the other side. "Now," said Jonas, clasping the waist of each, "I have got both arms full, haven't I? One of them will be black and blue tomorrow, if you don't let me go," cried the playful Mary.
"Ah, I don't mind your pinching," grinned Jonas, "a bit."
"Pinch him for me, Cherry, pray," said Mercy. "I never did hate anybody so much as I hate this creature, I declare."
"No, no, don't say that," urged Jonas, "and don't pinch either, because I want to be serious. I say, Cousin Charity,
well, what?"
She answered sharply. "I want to have some sober talk," said Jonas. "I want to prevent any mistakes, you know, and to put everything upon a pleasant understanding. That's desirable and proper, ain't it?"
Neither of the sisters spoke a word. Mr. Jonas paused, and cleared his throat, which was very dry. "She'll not believe what I am going to say, will she, cousin?"
said Jonas, timidly squeezing Miss Charity.
"Really, Mr. Jonas, I don't know, until I hear what it is. It's quite impossible."
"Why, you see," said Jonas, "her way always being to make game of people, I know she'll laugh, or pretend to, I know that, beforehand. But you can tell her I'm in earnest, cousin, can't you? You'll confess, you know, won't you? You'll be honorable, I'm sure," he added persuasively. No answer. His throat seemed to grow hotter and hotter, and to be more and more difficult of control.
"You see, Cousin Charity," said Jonas, "nobody but you can tell her what pains I took to get into her company when you were both at the boarding house in the city, because nobody's so well aware of it, you know.
Nobody else can tell her how hard I tried to get to know you better in order that I might get to know her without seeming to wish it, can they? I always asked you about her, and said where had she gone, and when would she come, and how lively she was, and all that, didn't I, cousin? I know you'll tell her so, if you haven't told her so already, and I dare say you have, because I'm sure you're honorable, ain't you? Apostrophe apostrophe, still not a word. The right arm of Mr. Jonas, the elder sister sat upon his right, may have been sensible of some tumultuous throbbing which was not within itself, but nothing else surprised him that his words had had the least effect. Even if you kept it to yourself, and haven't told her, apostrophe resumed Jonas, it don't much matter, because you'll bear honest witness now, won't you? We've been very good friends from the first, haven't we? And of course we shall be quite friends in future, and so I don't mind speaking before you a bit. Cousin Mercy, you've heard what I've been saying. She'll confirm it, every word. She must. Will you have me for your husband? Eh? Apostrophe, as he released his hold of Charity, to put this question with better effect, she started up and hurried away to her own room, marking her progress as she went by such a train of passionate and incoherent sound, as nothing but a slighted woman in her anger could produce. Let me go away. Let me go after her, apostrophe said Mary, pushing him off, and giving him to tell the truth more than one sounding slap upon his outstretched face. Not till you say yes. You haven't told me. Will you have me for your husband? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, I won't. I can't bear the sight of you. I have told you, so 100 times. You are a fright. Besides, I always thought you liked my sister best. We all thought so. Apostrophe, but that wasn't my fault, apostrophe said Jonas. Yes it was. You know it was. Apostrophe, any trick is fair in love, apostrophe said Jonas. She may have thought I liked her best, but you didn't. Apostrophe, I did. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, you didn't. You never could have thought I liked her best, when you were by. Apostrophe, there's no accounting for tastes, apostrophe said Mary. At least I didn't mean to say that. I don't know what I mean. Let me go to her. Apostrophe, say yes, and then I will. Apostrophe, if I ever brought myself to say so, it should only be that I might hate and tease you all my life. Apostrophe, that's as good, apostrophe cried Jonas, saying it right out. It's a bargain, cousin. We're a pair, if ever there was one. Apostrophe, this gallant speech was succeeded by a confused noise of kissing and slapping. And then the fair, but much disheveled Mary broke away, and followed in the footsteps of her sister. Now whether Mr. Pecksniff had been listening, which in one of his character appears impossible, or divined almost by inspiration, what the matter was which, in a man of his sagacity, is far more probable, or happened by sheer good fortune, to find himself in exactly the right place, at precisely the right time which, under the special guardianship in which he lived, might very reasonably happen, it is quite certain that at the moment when the sisters came together in their own room, he appeared at the chamber door. And a marvelous contrast it was, they so heated, noisy, and vehement, he so calm, so self-possessed, so cool and full of peace, that not a hair upon his head was stirred. Children, apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, spreading out his hands in wonder, but not before he had shut the door, and set his back against it. Girls, daughters, what is this? Apostrophe, the wretch, the apostate, the false, mean, odious villain, has before my very face proposed to Mercy. Apostrophe apostrophe was his eldest daughter's answer. Who has proposed to Mercy? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Mr. Pecksniff. He has. That thing, Jonas, downstairs. Apostrophe, Jonas proposed to Mercy? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff. I, indeed. Apostrophe, have you nothing else to say? Apostrophe apostrophe cried Charity. Am I to be driven mad, Papa? He has proposed to Mercy, not to me. apostrophe O, fie. For shame. Apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, gravely. Oh, for shame. Can the triumph of a sister move you to this terrible display, my child? Oh, really, this is very sad. I am sorry, I am surprised, and hurt to see you so. Mercy, my girl, bless you. See to her. Ah, envy, envy, what a passion you are. Apostrophe, apostrophe, uttering this apostrophe in a tone full of grief and lamentation, Mr. Pecksniff left the room, taking care to shut the door behind him, and walked downstairs into the parlor. There he found his intended son-in-law, whom he seized by both hands. Jonas! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Pecksniff. Jonas! The dearest wish of my heart is now fulfilled. Apostrophe, apostrophe, very well, I'm glad to hear it, apostrophe, said Jonas. That'll do. I say, as it ain't the one you're so fond of, you must come down with another 1,000, Pecksniff. You must make it up 5. It's worth that, to keep your treasure to yourself, you know. You get off very cheap that way, and haven't a sacrifice to make. Apostrophe, the grin with which he accompanied this, set off his other attractions to such unspeakable advantage, that even Mr. Pecksniff lost his presence of mind for a moment, and looked at the young man, as if he were quite stupefied with wonder and admiration. But he quickly regained his composure, and was in the very act of changing the subject, when a hasty step was heard without, and Tom Pinch, in a state of great excitement, came darting into the room. On seeing a stranger there, apparently engaged with Mr. Pecksniff in private conversation, Tom was very much abashed, though he still looked as if he had something of great importance to communicate, which would be a sufficient apology for his intrusion. Mr. Pinch, apostrophe said Pecksniff, this is hardly decent. You will excuse my saying that I think your conduct scarcely decent, Mr. Pinch. Apostrophe, I beg your pardon, sir, apostrophe replied Tom, for not knocking at the door. Apostrophe, rather beg this gentleman's pardon, Mr. Pinch, apostrophe said Pecksniff. I. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.